From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in the house you grew up or the apartment where you spent your childhood. What is the first memory that comes to mind for you? And what would you do if you found out that someone was going to bulldoze the place where you grew up? Here's why I'm asking. There is a lot of research into the connection between our knowledge of history and our desire to protect a place or a space for the future. If you had no connection to a building, would you care if you found out it was going to be demolished? What if you grew up in that building? Or what if you worked your first job there? What if your kids played there? Would that change things? Rochester is getting a state park at High Falls. The plans and details are still coming together. And some of the people working on the park want to tap into our history, the history of the site, to bolster the public sense of attachment and interest. It's happening in other communities, like Buffalo, for example, which is incorporating history into park design on the waterfront as part of the Ralph Wilson Park Heritage Engagement Project. In Rochester at High Falls, we're going to be talking to an anthropologist who is doing some of that kind of work here, a job essentially of tapping into the past as a way of creating a park for the present and the future. And Greentopia has put their own spin on Rochester history as a way of funding their efforts and a future park. They've created a list of 32 Rochester heroes and prominent Rochesterians working with artists to create silhouettes, life-size images of these 32 people. How many names on the list of 32 do you think you would recognize? How many stories would be new to you? Bausch, Lahm, Douglas, Gleason. That's just the start. An auction later this week will allow the public to purchase these artworks, raising money for Greentopia's efforts. And we're starting to see more details emerge of that state park in the area here. And we are right broadcasting right from the site of it. For example, we now know that the Falls Terrace Park next to the Genesee Brewery will be part of the new state park. And the Pontarren Bridge is coming along for those who haven't been there this summer. We've got a lot to talk about with our guests this hour. Tying it all together for us is Lisa Barron, Executive Board Chair for Greentopia. Welcome back to you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Evan. Thanks for having me.
Welcome in studio, Christine Radarski, historian for the City of Rochester. Welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Evan. Thanks.
Dr. Catherine Groh Allen is with us. Katie is an anthropologist who is doing some of the kind of work that I just mentioned here. Dr. Allen, welcome. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
And welcome on the line to Arthur Briley. Art is Regional Director of New York State Parks for the Genesee Region. Welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So there's a big event on Thursday night. And I don't know, do you still have tickets available, Lisa Barron?
I still have some tickets.
I'm not actually trying to tee you up on this. I actually don't know if you have tickets available. So you do.
What's going on
Thursday?
So Thursday night is our big fundraising gala. The title is Reflections on the River. And it is being held at the Rundell Library, cocktail hour on the North Terrace outside and then inside for the event. Dr. Allen is speaking, and we have lots of good food, drink, and an auction because we are auctioning off these historic Rochester heroes at our event.
So I'm going to go over the list in just a second because I find it fascinating. Some of these, the names I'm looking at going, well, Susan B. Anthony, Frederick Douglass.
Yes, of course.
But then I'm going, I think I know Kate Gleason. Do I know that story? And then I see Sister Hieronymo O'Brien, Louise Brooks, names like that that producer Megan Mack just looked at me through the glass. Big Louise Brooks fan there. We're going to go over that list in just a second here. What was the genesis of this idea? Lisa?
So in 2019, the city was closing the High Falls Visitor Center. Greentopia is based in High Falls, right on Brown's Race. And every exhibit was up for auction, so I walked into the auction and I bought the exhibit of these press board silhouettes of famous Rochesterians that had been in the High Falls Visitor Center for over 25 years. So I took them, and this was the year that I gave them to area artists to reimagine and decorate and paint and whatever, to bring these historic figures to life. And as you said, some of them were immutable. I didn't want the artists to reimagine Susan B. Anthony or Frederick Douglass.
Sure.
But some were very obscure old white guys, right, that nobody remembered. And I said, go at it. And so we have some new and modern famous Rochesterians in the mix, like Dr. Wendy Logan, Louis Perticone, Louise Brooks, and a few others.
So We're going to have some fun with this list. But at the root of all of this, as we said, is this idea that if people understand their history a little more, they care more. Maybe they attend a state park in the future. Maybe they'll help fund its protection. Is that what you're going for here?
Yeah. So in 23, Greentopia partnered with Genesee Land Trust, and we created a survey. And Arthur Briley is part of it, too. The state parks okayed the survey. And we pushed it out. We got 1,400 responses to this survey. And the survey was, what do you want to see in your state park? And the top three things that people wanted to do and see was hiking trails. They wanted to relax. And they wanted to read educational signage, which set off bells for me because people really want to know the history of this location and place because it is significant for the Rochester itself. It's, you know, the birthplace of a city. You know, why did we start Rochester at High Falls versus at the edge of Lake Ontario, right? And so I think there's an opportunity here to connect people to the past, but also to have them look forward, you know, into the future for Rochester.
If you want to go to the event on Thursday night at the Rundell Library.
Yes.
Rain or shine. It's going to be shine.
But, yes, it will be shine.
Thursday night. There's information, and we'll have a link on our show notes when we post this show later, or you can let them know where you want them to go.
Yes, and the other thing I'm going to bring up is if we don't auction every figure off, they will still continue to be available to the public to purchase if they want an original piece of artwork. So,
all right, so a lot going on Thursday. Yeah. And can you remind people as well, Lisa, that what you think the best guess of a timeline for the state park is going to be? The opening day is what day, what hour?
I think that's a good question for Art. But I just took pictures of the cleanup down at the BB site, and they started at the southernmost tip of it, and now they're almost underneath the Ponte Ren Bridge, which is the end of the cleanup site. So I think both the Ponte Ren and the cleanup of the BB site will be done by the end of this year. So I'm crossing my fingers.
And then the best case scenario for the opening of a new park would be?
Oh, gosh. I think it will be phased. So, you know, maybe the west side first in a couple years, and then the east side, you know, the following.
I know you hate that question.
Years.
I have to press you because
question.
People are going to ask me, Lisa,
know,
and I have to
I
ask
know.
You.
That's yeah. what you, well, ask Art.
All right, Art. What's opening day going to be?
Well, boy, I wish I could give you that exact date, too, but I think Lisa's. She's spot on. You know, the first thing we have to do is ensure that all the cleanup is done the right way. You know, that way when we build the park, it's going to be, you know, safe and usable for everybody. And that's going to take a couple of years. But what we have been telling everybody is it also affords us the time to listen to the community, all the different stakeholders, and design the park that it really can be. So even though it requires a little bit more patience for a few more years before we get started on that first phase, it's a great opportunity for us to get it right.
Well, and I appreciate that point. I think our listeners do, too. Every time we talk about this, as Lisa now knows, we get a lot of feedback, and I'm sure Art and Lisa and others do as well. Art, what is the best way for the public to kind of share with you, whether it's future workshops or things that you want them to communicate to you?
Well, actually, it's perfect timing for that question. So, again, Lisa and a lot of other stakeholders have been spending time reaching out to the community and collecting a lot of that information already for us. Just this past Saturday, I attended an event in Maplewood Park, the Bridging to Communities event, which gave us a great opportunity to talk with the public, the local community, and solicit a lot of feedback, what they want out of the park and what would make them feel safe and secure there. So we collected a lot of that information, and we are right on the edge of being able to announce the design consultant that will be coming on board that is not only going to help us design the park, but they're going to do public outreach in order to start getting that information, some of which will include website and different avenues for people to put in their ideas and suggestions. So that's going to be really, really soon, that announcement's coming out.
Like before the end of this hour on this program?
Boy, I wish. I don't think it's going to be quite that soon, but it is. It's very soon. Working with Empire State Development, they've been helping us bring this designer on board, and they assure me, you know, we're just ready to announce who that is very soon, and that will open up that door to, you know, being able to solicit even more feedback as they start putting pen to paper.
So I have a little bit of bias here because, you know, working down here in High Falls and loving the Pontarun Bridge and having been at past dinners on the bridge with Lisa and the group there and wondering when that construction is going to be done so I can sit out there with a coffee in the afternoon after the show. It's one of my favorite places in this. It might be my favorite place in the city. And I talk to people a lot who have not been there or have not really spent a whole lot of time in this area or are surprised there's a waterfall. And I often sit on that bridge and I look around the area and I do wonder, you know, why is it not more utilized or what has it been in the past? And I want to ask Dr. Allen what you're going to be talking about on Thursday night to kind of give us a sense of how your role fits into this and what you want the public thinking about too, if you could, Katie.
Sure. So I'm trained as an anthropologist and an archaeologist. Most of my career I've actually been working on places of significant antiquity, right? Thousands of years old archaeology sites in Europe, North America. And a few years back, I started a project in the Arctic that was looking at heritage and archaeology in the past. And for the first time, in addition to looking at the past, I was really struck kind of in the face with the present and the future and how important that is in the questions of heritage. Right. And so I suddenly started thinking a lot more about heritage and history in terms of what we're doing right now, but also what we might be doing in the future. Right. What kind of changes are coming from there? After this project, I actually started working with the Ralph Wilson Park Conservancy at looking at heritage at a place I hadn't investigated it before, which is an urban park. Right. A lot of urban parks are not necessarily very, very old, but they are in places with a lot of history. And they are places that even more so can be turned into places of heritage, right? So a place where people can gather, a place where a community can enjoy the lifelong benefits of quality green spaces, right? Those are legacies. Those are places that that affect the community now, but will have huge impacts, hopefully, on the communities in the future. So I'm on Thursday, I'm going to be speaking about this idea of heritage, right? About protecting and preserving the past, but also about building heritage right now in places like an urban green space and in downtown and urban area. So,
and given your work, are you concerned about the homogenization of the present and the future of everything from the aesthetic to sort of the way that we kind of create spaces now that don't often lean on, as Lisa said, even any information about the past, et cetera? Does that concern you?
Yeah, absolutely. It can be easier to follow a mold, right? It can be easier to create spaces and then to replicate that pattern, you know, to build a park in Buffalo and then to come here and build the same park. That can be easier on a logistical way, but you know, the truly great places around the world are places that are really unique, right? They take into consideration the history of that particular environment, the history of that space, the people who walked those lands 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 10 days ago, right? And 10 days from now, right? So those are the places that, and I've seen them, I've seen these places that incorporate such the uniqueness of space and the uniqueness of that community. And those I find to be far more capable of being given the designation of legacy.
Having done work around the world, as you have, this is a very lay idea, and feel free to just blow this up if you want, but in my sort of limited travels, it seems to me that the places that I go that feel most authentically untouched or less touched, less modernized, more timeless, are places that were designed or laid out or used before the advent of the automobile or modern transportation. And so as technology and transportation evolved, those places did some accommodation. Some haven't done a whole lot, you know, the quote-unquote old cities and that you travel to around the world, or sometimes you'll go to a modern city and inside of the modern city is the old city, and you know, you often can't drive in the places like that. Is that a disadvantage for the Rochesters of the world that are very reliant on automobile traffic? We're not very multimodal. We're very grid-like. Does that make it more challenging for us?
I don't think so, because I think that heritage and building places like this, right, it doesn't have to depend 100% on the past, right? It doesn't have to be a place that has been 100% preserved and hasn't changed in the modern time, right? In fact, some of those places might struggle in the fact that everywhere is changing and will most likely change in the coming years, right? And so I don't know how reasonable it is to think that any place can remain untouched, right? Instead, it's about merging preservation and modernization, right? It's about protecting the past, but also building so that it can be used and enjoyed and loved in the future, right? In which case, you don't have to have that kind of untapped or untouched antiquity to be a place in which heritage and history merges with the modern world and the future either.
What do you think of the site here in High Falls for this park?
I think it's going to be fantastic. I grew up in Rochester. I always loved seeing High Falls. I loved coming down here. I think looking at the renderings, I'm so excited. I haven't always worked in the urban park area, but my work with Ralph Wilson Park has gotten me so excited about the benefits that urban green spaces can bring to a community, right? So to see one in the city that I grew up in is really exciting.
In a moment, we're going to talk to historian Christine Radarski for the City of Rochester. We're going to talk about the value of knowing our history, whether it's knowing names, whether it's knowing the history of a space. Before we do that, let me grab a phone call with some questions about, I don't even know if we can answer all the questions on the future of this park yet, but Bonnie has got some questions. Hello, Bonnie. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, questions / statements. These are probably pretty obvious things, but one would be a lot of music. Two would be... the city goes from South Avenue and Main Street all the way down to Ridge Road. So the places in between, which is where I live, I would like to make sure those people are involved and have an open chance to keep going through this. In other words, what I'm trying to say is I have a concern what happens a lot of times is, frankly, the people who live in the suburbs, who probably work downtown, they begin to think that they own this. I know that sounds selfish, but I don't care. And then pretty soon the people who live in these areas, you know, kind of just fade away. The other thing was, it would be kind of cool if we could find an interesting little device, a cart or something that could transport people down from where Lake Avenue and Avenue E come in all the way up.
Yeah, something multimodal. So good, fair questions, Bonnie, and there's a lot there. First of all, loud music, Lisa Barron. You think there's going to be loud music in this park?
I think there will be an event space, yes.
There'll be some
Absolutely.
Loud. There'll be some music.
Yes.
Okay. And you seem to say, bring it on.
Bring it on,
okay.
Sure.
All right. There's also the music of the waterfall. It's going to be great if you haven't been there. I'm a big fan of the space. But yes, it'll be an event space in that way, Bonnie. Now, let me ask Lisa, Art especially, you know, when you think about access issues, she's talking about ways to get people to the park who can't just get in a car, drive, park in a parking lot, but want to feel connected to the space still. What do you do with that?
I think Greentopia partnered with the Community Design Center to have a park design workshop open to the public on May 4th. And that was the number one question, concern, that was discussed, because we sent groups. It was attended by over 80 people. Groups went on both sides of the gorge and explored. And the feedback was that we don't really want to waste, you know, there's only 40 acres that's going to be a state park. We don't want to waste a lot that precious land on parking lots. So where can we, you know, have people... You know, to Bonnie's point, you know, have people park up on the rim and come down to the park, right? So that's really a concern.
Or people who don't have cars got to be able to get there.
Absolutely, right. So luckily, you know, both sides of the park have an access road already. And the city, the High Falls Visitor Center is being redesigned and reimagined and may, in fact, have an elevator from that building down to the park. So that's another opportunity.
Okay. Art, anything you want to add there?
I mean, I think Lisa summarized it really well. You know, it's been a main point of topic that we're highlighting for the design consultant is being able to make sure that this park is accessible. You know, it's not often that you build a park down in a gorge. I mean, it's an exciting opportunity, but it's one of the challenges that we know we need to navigate. Like you said before, keeping things multimodal, partnerships maybe with public transportation, all those things are on the table. But really, that's been a top topic for us to talk about, to work through with design. Just getting people in and out of that space. And to Lisa's point, the last thing we want to do is make a parking lot because every square inch of that 40 acres has got a lot more value than making it, you know, a parking space.
Well, we've been talking about what the future will look like here in High Falls with a new state park that's going to take time to open in phases over the years. As Lisa Barron says, it's not happening next week or next month, but it is, it's not hypothetical anymore. I mean, there's a lot actually happening. And our guests are not only talking about that, but we're talking about the connection of place and history that would bind a community to a place like a park, that would make you want to be there more, that would make you feel more educated or more invested in a place like that. There's a big event coming up on Thursday night, and they would love to see you there. The event is Greentopia's Reflections on the River. You might know it in the past iteration as Dinner on the Bridge, but you would not want to have Dinner on the Bridge this year. It's under construction, and that could be dangerous. So this year, they're doing it at the Rundell, Memorial Building, on South Avenue, and it starts at 5:30 on Thursday night. They would love to see you there. Tickets are still available for that. Lisa Behrens, the Executive Board Chair for Greentopia. Art Brightly on the line with us, Regional Director for New York State Parks in the Genesee Region. Dr. Catherine Groh Allen is with us. Katie is an anthropologist who really has done work around the world and is doing some work right here in her native Rochester on this park. And Christine Radarsky, historian for the City of Rochester. If you want to call the program or email the program, you can call us toll-free, 844-295-TALK. It's 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. Or you can email the program, connections at WXXI.org. Historian Christine Radarsky, I already have emails from people who are like, well, if there's 32 famous Rochesterians that you're featuring in this artwork that you're auctioning off on Thursday night, I've got some ideas. Everybody's got ideas on what should be on that list. That's one of the beauties of history. But I'm curious to know, of this list of 32, how many should I know here? How many names should come right to mind for me? I'm going to give you the stack here.
Yep. So, you know, you're going to find the big names. Obviously, we've already mentioned Susan B. Anthony and Frederick Douglass. You're also going to find names on this list, Alwanger and Barry, who are known for, you know, their contributions to our park system. You know, some of those older names. I'm guessing a lot of those folks people aren't as familiar with.
Like Kate Gleason is a name I know because it's a name that is on things.
Correct.
But I don't know how much I knew about Kate Gleason until reading
here. And Kate Gleason is one of my favorite women from Rochester. Kate Gleason was an early engineer. She attended Cornell University and what is the Mechanics Institute, what is now RIT. She was the first woman to join the National Engineering Association and to be let into that. She was the son of the founder of what we know today as Gleason Works, which actually started in High Falls. Now they're out on University Avenue. But Kate Gleason was also one of the first female bank presidents. She, using her engineering degree and having experienced a catastrophic fire in High Falls and witnessing the aftermath of that, she began designing concrete fireproof housing. And one of the examples of that remains in East Rochester to this day. She's also a suffragist, friend of Susan B. Anthony, involved in that movement. So amazing woman in and of herself.
And the reason we're going over this list, which all connects to what Greentopia is doing, is, Lisa, am I giving you all the credit for this idea? This was your idea, wasn't it?
It was
yes. Your idea to take these 32 figures throughout history. They're working with, have worked with 16 artists who are taking a couple names apiece and creating these silhouettes that range from, I think, 4.5 to about 6 feet tall, right?
Right.
And they're being auctioned off. So if you would like to bid on one, you can do that leading up to Thursday night. Or if they're not sold on Thursday, they'll still be available.
Yes.
exactly right. Yes.
And so, Christine, what's the value in looking at a list like this and for kind of immersing ourselves in some of this history and challenging ourselves to say, I know this one. I think I know this name. I don't really know the story. You know, I mean, I had that moment recently when my son heard We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel. And I'm like, you're 12. How many of these news headlines do you know? And then I'm going, wait a second. How many of these news headlines do I know? Like, I think I know the story of Bridge on the River Kwai, but do I? So I felt the same thing looking at this list going, I knew the Kate Gleason story kind of, but re-immersing I thought was really interesting. How valuable is that for our public?
You know, I think it is completely invaluable in that we're talking about place right now. We're talking about High Falls as a place and the ways that people connect to the places around them. And those connections come through the built landscape around us, the physical landscape around us, and it comes from the stories that we tell and that we learn about our community. And those things inform our own personal identity and our connections to community. So I think it's really important for people to learn about the people who have come before them. I also, one of the things that I really appreciate about this project in the way that Lisa imagined it is that, you know, when these figures came out of High Falls, and I was running the High Falls Center when we closed it and was with Lisa when she was tackling early ideas for how she could use these figures. And what I appreciate is that, you know, when you look at the original figures who were in the old High Falls Visitor Center, there were a lot of old white men in there. And by allowing artists to reimagine some of these people, we've been able to tell some new stories about some of those old figures. Nathaniel Rochester, for example, has been updated to reflect the fact that he was a slave holder and a slave trader. So, you know, this is a way that maybe this story about our city's founder will come to new people and people will start to understand him in different ways. We've also been able to bring more women into the story because some of those old white men have been reimagined. We've got people like Sylvie Ruth Levy Kornberg, who a lot of people know her husband, Arthur Kornberg, because he was a Nobel winner. But she actually did a lot of the research that contributed to that work. She was a scientist in her own right, a biochemist. Most people probably have never heard her name, and she came right out of Rochester. We have modern figures like Kitty Van Bordel, a prominent businesswoman in our community, one of the first successful female car dealers in the country and someone who is a role model for other businesswomen throughout the community and the country right now. And we've talked about Louise Brooks, a silent film star who retired to Rochester and left quite a legacy here. In fact, we've got some really interesting materials in the library about her and her commentary on the famous people she interacted with. We've also got Garth Fagan, who, of course, wasn't represented early on, but, you know, someone who has made an international name for himself from the work he's done right out of Rochester. So I think, you know, we're starting to see that there are more stories to be told, too. And I hope that through an exploration of figures like those represented here, it will encourage people to begin to explore other figures in our community, the stories that maybe we don't know about yet.
Are they all available on Thursday night, Lisa? Have any of them been auctioned yet?
Some are gone.
Okay.
Like Susan B. is gone, but a majority are still available right now. Go to greentopia.org and you can bid.
Greentopia.org for more information there.
Yes.
After we take our only break, which we'll do now, Gary in Bloomfield will take your call on the other side of this break. He's got more ideas about what kind of a park, you know, that this can be. We're talking about the future here in High Falls. A High Falls State Park is coming, and they are the organizers, the planners, the people involved in this conversation. They're hoping that you will connect your local history to places like that to feel more invested, more connected, more willing to not only spend time there, maybe invest there. And Greentopia's got a big event on Thursday. It's part of their annual series. They usually do it right there on the Pontarren Bridge here in High Falls, which has been under construction. And that won't last forever, and soon we'll be back on that bridge. But we're going to come right back with them. We'll take some of your feedback and more next on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, we welcome Ukrainian musicians, some traveling the world, sharing their music, trying to do more to connect cultures, connect understanding to what is happening in Ukraine with the war the attempted genocide from Russia, cultural oppression, and more. Music was a powerful tool for composers like Shostakovich in decades past. How about now? We'll talk about it next hour. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Gary in Bloomfield next. Hello. Go ahead.
Oh, hello there. Thank you. This is Gary. And I've been listening to the show. I listen to you a lot. I love your show.
Thank you very much.
When you're talking about a park, I would like to see something that just a part of it, not obviously not the whole thing, but just a part that would kind of be used as an old fashioned like people's forum, you know, like Hyde Park in England, where people can just bring up subjects or something like this. But it could be done in a really nice way where just the average person can maybe sign up for, you know, an hour or something like that, and then encourage people to just bring their ideas and share them, and then hopefully have a discussion. It can be anything. I mean, obviously there's, you know, there'll be, you know, amateur politicians, but I'm thinking, and also the other thing is, you were also talking about the history and stuff. I'm certain that the Native American community before Rochester was even here, that with the High Falls, must have been an area that was a commercial, you know, thoroughfare or something. But my inspiration for the People's Park was really, I used to live in Long Island, and it was a lady who had a house. And when her husband passed away, they were very active in the community. And she just opened it up to certain rooms to people just being able to come in and talk. And she wound up filling up like 3 or 4 rooms of different books and stuff like that people could come in, hang out, just talk, and it became a place, a thing, you know.
Well, let me just jump in, Gary, and say, first of all, thank you for the phone call. And there's several different elements I want to kick over to our guests there. Let me start with Dr. Catherine Groh Allen, who is an anthropologist you mentioned, for example, doing work in Buffalo, which is, I think that's where the Ralph Wilson Park is, in mm-hmm. Buffalo. And, you know, as you said, you're not just going to pick up that blueprint and put it in Rochester. Every community is going to do its own thing. Gary's talking about having grown up on Long Island, and he has these visions of a people's park and a forum and things like that. How important is it to take elements that you like without sort of just duplicating what is happening elsewhere and finding a unique individual flavor for a place?
I think if you take the big pieces, right, the pieces that science or anthropologists have shown make truly great spaces, right? So, for example, a space to gather, a space for neighborliness to thrive, we see that this creates lasting benefits in a community, right? And so what Gary is talking about is building this into the park, building spaces for people to gather, building a place where neighborliness can thrive because people can do the things that he was describing. Those are big picture pieces that seem to be true amongst people everywhere, right? Because humans, we do have these kind of universal or wide-reaching truths about humans no matter what culture we come to. But then actually translating it for the local community, that might be a little bit different, right? So every park might translate how much of a space or how much of a forum or exactly the elements that support gathering, neighborliness, stuff like that. That's where it's going to be unique to each place.
He's also asking about history, Native culture, et cetera. And, you know, it seems to me, Dr. Allen, that your work here is much more modern in scope than maybe you've done in places around the world. But how much should we be thinking about how far back our history goes and keeping in mind Native communities, et cetera?
All the way back. Mm-hmm. So in Buffalo, the park that the land that the park is being built on is literally very new. So a lot of it was dredged from the bottom of the lake in 1920s, right? But park, this part, the spaces here and the spaces that many urban parks sit on, they have a very, very long history, long before Europeans came, right? So to explore the history does not mean to stop at the modern age, right? It means to go all the way back so that all people who have walked this land are part of that history, right? And so including the Haudenosaunee community, including you know, all cultures that have a bit of a stake in this land is really important.
Well, I'm looking at the list of 32 notable Rochesterians whose silhouettes have been created by local artists that are going to be up for auction on Thursday night. And one of them is Red Jacket, Christine Radarsky. Probably I know just as little as anybody. I know the name, or sometimes I would associate it with maybe a school district or, you know, a building, but I don't know the story. And now, thanks to this book and thanks to these artists, I do. How much do you appreciate Gary's point about thinking about Native land use here, not just being, you know, the modern age or sort of the car grid area?
Yeah, I think it's really important to incorporate that. You know, we have to remember Haudenosaunee culture remains with us. There are Haudenosaunee people living among us today. So their culture, their history is as relevant to any of us as anyone else's. And it's inherent that we incorporate that. And, you know, that the river, this is right on our riverfront, that is important, again, in every one of our lives throughout history.
Well, I mean, he also talked about, you know, making sure that gathering place is there. It sounds to me like that is in the works here, Lisa Barron.
I hope so. I think it's a brilliant idea. I love it.
What do you think, Art?
Yeah, actually, that's a really interesting concept with that open forum. And to speak to the history, I like to highlight that right here in our local area with Letchworth State Park, we do a lot of these same things that we're talking about, telling the history not only of the people that were here before things became industrialized, but how a lot of industrialized areas have been reclaimed to give back to the people. So, you know, in state parks, it's part of our name, historic preservation, and that's not only, you know, saving the historic, you know, amenities and assets, but it's also telling that same story that goes along with them.
Well, listeners, if you want to share your thoughts, email the program, connections@wxxi.org, greentopia.org, the website for information on what's happening on Thursday night, what's happening with these historical figures. I have to think it warmed Christine Radarsky's heart when you found out that the public said they really wanted the top three things they wanted from this park. What were one and two? And then we'll get to the third, which was, what was one?
To hike and walk.
To go hiking, trails, walking, yeah.
Relax.
Relaxing.
And read historical markers.
I mean, like, are you the person with, like, your whole family taking the survey?
I mean, I don't think I even took the survey. So, you know, that is amazing to hear that. And especially if they said they want to read about that history, because, you know, there's this idea in our culture that people aren't reading and they aren't interested in that. And I see it every day, you know, especially I work with school children a lot. And I know teachers are excited to have this park opening, because even after the High Falls Visitor Center closed, we still give tours of that area. And children connect with place, and they connect with history when they can see how it affects their own place and the world around them. So I'm so excited that there is this interest in the history.
Bonnie in Irondequoit, different Bonnie, says, hey guys, great show. Why not include Donna Strickland and Gerard Moreau, 2018 Nobel Prize in Physics winners, in the list of famous Rochesterians? They lived in Rochester in the 80s when she was a graduate student and he was head of the laser lab at the University of Rochester, and did their Nobel Prize winning research here. It was this work which made possible all of the medical and surgical applications of lasers that we benefit from now. That is Bonnie in Irondequoit. Boy, just this whole list makes me feel like, what am I doing with my life? And then another email is asking, like, what's the full list? All right, so I'm just going to read the list. We're going to end with Christine's favorite here. But I'm going to read the list here, and listeners, see how many of these famous Rochesterians throughout history you would immediately recognize and know their story. Sister Hieronymo O'Brien, am I saying that correct?
I believe so,
I think
yes.
That's right. Okay. Lifespan 1819 to 1898. Susan B. Anthony, of course. I think that's self-explanatory. Garth Fagan. Garth, still with us, doing great work, and one of our favorite guests here. Louis Perdicone, who just passed away. And Louis's story, I think, pretty well covered and well known. But Lewis on that list of 32. Howard Hanson, 1896 to 1981. Composer, conductor, and director of at the Eastman School of Music, of course. Red Jacket, we talked about, lived 1750 to 1830, roughly. Matthew and Francis Brown lived in the late 17 to mid 1800s. Nathaniel Rochester, we've talked about Nathaniel Rochester. Henry Ward, 1834 to 1906. Andrew and John Warner lived until, well, the early mid 20th century. Hiram Sibley, there's a name that probably you know the last name. Do you know Hiram Sibley's full story? He died in 1888. Abelard Reynolds is not a name. I you know, Lisa is looking at me like, was this a new one to you?
It was until I, you know, we did the research. Yes,
lived in
an early founder of in Rochester, first postmaster, first person to open a hotel, first he's a first. Yeah.
And if you're familiar with the Reynolds Arcade on Main Street, he's responsible for that, although that's the second Reynolds Arcade building.
Abelard Reynolds died in 1878. Daniel Powers lived much of the 19th century, died in 1897. Seth Green died in 1888. George Hurdle died in 1922. Frank Gannett, well, I think we know. Gannett's a whole other story. Chester Dewey passed away in 1867. Claude Bragdon, 1946, passed away, born in 1866. Alicia Johnson passed away in 1866. And I'm just looking at this list going, boy, I'm getting fewer and fewer checks on this, Christine Radarsky. I think you'd be very disappointed in me. Ebenezer Allen lived from 1743 to 1814. Henry O'Reilly passed away in 1886. Lewis Henry Morgan. Again, this is one where I'm like, oh, yes, that's a yes. And then I'm going, how much do I know about Lewis Henry Morgan? Why does this keep happening to me, Lisa Barron? I feel like I know the surface-level stories. Bausch and Lomb, Captain Henry Lomb and John Jacob Bausch, both lived into the 20th century, and that's a name I think we know. Elwanger and Berry. I know Elwanger and Berry from literally schools and, you know, community institutions. But George Elwanger, Patrick Berry, 1816 to 1906 and 1816 to 1890. Every one of these could be its own story. George Eastman probably needs no introduction. Frederick Douglass, Sylvia Ruth Levy Kornberg, we talked about. Kitty Van Bordel. So there is your list. And then Christine Radarsky, you like this one here.
Yes, this one is called You Could Be Famous, and it has no face. In place of its face is a mirror, and it actually has, I think, three other mirrors on it to allow people of different heights to see themselves in this collection of famous people. So I think that's really important. Again, we're talking about place. We're talking about connection. And, you know, any one of these people who have been represented here today, there are hundreds, thousands of other stories we could tell. And, you know, hopefully some of them will be an inspiration for our youth and other people to make their own mark on our community.
And I don't want to miss any artist names, but let me just say, of the more than a dozen artists who've worked on these, they've done beautiful work here. It's really cool to see what they've done, Lisa. So I wasn't reading artist names because I don't want to miss anybody.
Yeah.
But you got a great team there.
Really. They really came through and loved the project. And I'm so proud to present their work. We, Greentopia, created a soft cover book that memorializes the project, and that will be available at our event, but I hope to make copies of that book available. These pieces were on display in 14 different libraries all over Monroe County for the last month. And I hope people went to see them. In fact, we created the scavenger hunt to encourage people to visit libraries this summer. So if you went to 6 libraries and you got a park t-shirt, and if you go to all 14, you're going to get a copy of the book. I'm just now starting to hear from people who did the scavenger hunt. So I'm excited for them, and I'm excited for the artists themselves. And you know what? The artists did not volunteer their time. Greentopia paid the artists because that's right and fair. And but they'll be at the event tonight or Thursday night
Careful,
to answer questions.
It's not Thursday yet.
It's yes, I know.
You got a couple more days.
I do. Thank God.
Let me get a little more feedback. Joe says, I'm excited for the High Falls Park. It could be the best thing to happen to Rochester since the new baseball stadium right across the road. That is from Joe. Stephen Fisher says, I was wondering if Austin Stewart was included in the famous Rochesterian art project. He ran a successful meat market and general store, formerly enslaved person. Came to Rochester in the early 1800s. He authored a novel, 22 Years a Slave. Christine Radarsky?
Austin Stewart was not included in these historical figures, but you may have heard that the city just renamed a park along the river after Austin Stewart, and we're hoping to get some artwork of him in that area at some point in time.
John wants to know if there is chemical cleanup that has to happen before this park can open to the public. I don't know. Lisa, you want to start with that?
Well, I think Art could answer that question better.
Yeah, Art, you want to hit that one?
Yeah, well, so Parks isn't the one that is directly overseeing the remediation in that, but our counterpart, sister agency, DEC, you know, they're right on top of all of that, making sure that whatever contaminants are there are handled and taken care of the right way. So I don't want to speak to the specifics, but I do know the DEC is making sure that anything that we should be concerned about is being addressed.
Dr. Allen, as an anthropologist, you do some archaeology as well?
Mm-hmm.
How much digging in the soil do you do in your work around the world?
I did a lot more before I had three kids.
Do you have to do any of that here, or is that a very different job?
No. So I'm more in the public engagement and kind of revisioning heritage as like a public good right now than digging. But I will be in the dirt again someday.
You don't look at this site and you're not concerned, right? I mean, we're going to get this thing where it needs to be, mm-hmm. I would think. Yeah. Right, Lisa Barron?
Oh, yeah.
So, yes. John, it's a fair question because I think there have been different entities that have used some of the space over the years, and Rochester has a long history. We're seeing how difficult it is to take former Kodak properties, for example, and a lot of people have done great work doing that. But it's a fair question, John, and I'm sure it's top of mind for them, but it's not going to stop this park from getting done here. So as we get ready to wrap up here, I want to ask our guests what they want to leave with listeners as we think about what is coming in the future here. And Lisa, I know you didn't want me to ask you about when opening day is going to be or when it's going to, because I know that will change over time. But the excitement should really bolster you. I mean, like, there is a lot of feedback every time we have this conversation. So do you want the public to sort of take a breath, be patient? Do you want people excited? I mean, how do you feel about where things stand?
I think I really want the public to be involved in the design, right? I look at the timeline for cutting a ribbon as more of an opportunity for us to engage the public, to do the hard research that should go into the design, to bring forth all of the wonderful ideas that Dr. Allen had about building heritage in a park. We need to take advantage of this window of opportunity and squeeze every ounce of goodness out of this park economically, environmentally, historically, educationally, and make Rochester maybe recognized for something besides Kodak, right? There are only a handful of urban state parks in the country, right? Let alone New York State. So let's do this right.
Art, what do you want to leave with listeners?
Well, who can say it better than Lisa just did? but the reality is that's all absolutely true. You know, this is a great opportunity for state parks to basically have a place right there in the heart of Rochester and tie into the local communities and help tell that history. It's a very exciting time.
Art, were you at all surprised that Rochester gets to be one of the few cities in the country with an urban state park?
Not at all. All the work that's gone into the Rochester Riverway in that, I think it's, if anything else, long overdue.
Dr. Allen, what do you want to leave with listeners?
I want to leave the thought of thinking a little bit bigger, thinking globally. The United Nations has laid out a framework of 17 sustainable development goals. within their goals, this is something I think about a lot, is building better cities. So around the world, they're encouraging cities to build better. And within that goal is the two targets, one of which is to protect cultural and natural heritage, right? The history of a place, but also the natural heritage of native species, and to provide quality, accessible green spaces. So an urban park that taps into its heritage achieves both of these things. So by building this, Rochester joins many, many cities around the world that are trying to build better spaces.
And Christine Radarski.
It's really hard to follow that, but I'm just going to ask listeners to, you know, stop and look around you, think about what's around you, think about the way your experiences in this community have shaped you, and then provide your feedback on what it is you'd like to see in this park and how you think this community represents you and how this park can represent you.
Christine Radarski is a historian for the City of Rochester. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Our thanks to Dr. Catherine Groh Allen, who is an anthropologist whose work has been really around the world and right back here in the hometown. I hope it's enjoyable being back in Rochester. Thank you for sharing your expertise with us this hour. And our thanks as well. On the line, Art Briley is a regional director for New York State Parks in the Genesee region. Thank you, Arthur.
Thank you all.
Hey, Lisa Barron, executive board chair for Greentopia. It's not tonight, it's Thursday night, your event.
Thursday night.
I know it's on your mind. It's greentopia.org. Tickets still available, yes.
Yes. Well, email me. We'll talk.
I know that they would love to see everyone involved in the creation of this park, whether that's Thursday night or beyond. Thank you, Lisa, for being here.
Thank you, Evan.
From the whole team at Connections, thank you. We are right back with you with more in a moment.